You're listening to the Armed American Radio Network, brought to you every week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. And now, your host, Mark Walters.
Hour number three. You gotta love this. You asked for it. You got it. Third hour. Atlanta, welcome. Up on the stick, broadcasting out in the great city of Atlanta, Georgia. Hot Atlanta, Georgia, to anybody who's ever been here and been around Buckhead and knows what I'm talking about. Welcome to the network. Everybody from Buckeye Firearms that's picking us up tonight, your fearless leader, Jim Irvine, is going to be joining me in just a second on the Armed American Radio Network. And George Hill, the Mad Ogre, is back again. And it is great to be with you. Thanks very much for tuning in from wherever you may be. And I'm just going to go right into it tonight because it's just been way too much fun. We've had two great guests. Hour number one, Masad Ayoub, brilliant as usual. David Burnett in hour number two. What a wealth of information. Just simply not enough time to talk with him, but a great conversation. I had a great personal conversation with him this week, a number of them, and he's great on the air. We just didn't have enough time. The hours fly by. And this hour, Jim Irvine is going to be with us in just a second. He's flashing on the screen. And the fun part about this conversation is going to be because we're going to be getting into a little bit of technical stuff with the McDonald case, and we're going to let Jim do as only he can do. My good friend, Jim Irvine, you are on the Armed American Radio Network. Welcome to the third hour, brother.
Mark Walters, I couldn't be more proud to be with you, sir.
Man, I'm telling you, I got that email from you a little bit ago that says, I just heard my name on the radio. I was about falling over here. All the way up there in Cleveland. What's the weather like up there? Are you in shoulder holster weather like we are down here?
Oh, well, you know, us northerners make fun of you guys in the south for calling 40 cold, but...
46.
It's, let me see, it's 44 degrees right now in Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay, well, you know.
We call that a beautiful fall day up here, though.
Yeah, that is a beautiful fall day.
I must say the sun was out today. It wasn't raining.
Yeah, we had that, you know, just that gray, even though it was 46 degrees. You know how it is. The wind blows, it's gray, and it's rainy, and it's cold, and it just gets, that chill gets in you.
Just wait a few months. In March, 46 will seem wonderful.
I'm telling you right now, 46 right now. Okay, enough of that. George Hill, the Mad Ogre. Brother, you are back on the Armed American Radio Network, my man.
And this is the third hour. This is the new territory right here.
This is it. And guess what? I'm still standing.
Absolutely. It's fine to have. It's awesome to have enough room to kind of stretch your legs out here and talk about stuff that you never had time before to talk about.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's relaxing a little bit right now. And, George, I'm going to, you know, you've been on since, have you been on since I was out there? Where are you?
Yeah.
I'm losing track.
Yeah.
You were on one time since I was out there. Hey, Jim, I went out to Utah. I had to go out there for a court case, and you were broadcasting in Cleveland on the Buckeye Firearms Forum and missed what we talked about. But there was some parallels there, Jim, and it's really neat, so I'm going to throw this story back out at everybody. What I'm referring to is that I had to go out to defend the company I was working for in a lawsuit, a frivolous lawsuit that was filed against us by a very large corporation out in Salt Lake City, based in Salt Lake City. And there was no way, Jim, that they thought that a representative from my little old company was going to go out there and defend it. And that's why they sued us, because they knew they were going to get a judgment because we weren't going to show up. The fact of the matter is I did show up, and George Hill, the Mad Ogre, showed up at the Marriott I was staying at downtown.
Radisson,
I'm sorry, right, Radisson. I should have known that because I get points at Marriott's, and I didn't get any points on that stay. But George was kind enough to take me down to the courthouse and take me out and show me a lot of Salt Lake City, Jim. And while I was there, when the judge called the case and the plaintiff raised their hand all cocky and then asked for me and I said, I'm here, the look on their face was unbelievable. I proceeded to mop the floor up with them in court because they were unprepared. And that's what we talk about, the parallels between a violent encounter on the streets and what we witnessed in that courtroom, George. Weren't those parallels really something else?
It was all about being prepared and being just being ready. You know, the Boy Scout motto, always be prepared. And it was entertaining. I had a blast. I went with Mark into the courtroom and kind of sat there with, you know, biting my tongue, trying to keep from laughing out loud because Yeah, Mark just gave him a thorough, old-fashioned, over-the-knee spanking. Yeah.
Well, that was simply because I had the paperwork in front of me, and I knew that we had a case, which is why we went out there. But the fact of the matter is, Jim, in a violent encounter, you know what? Who's always prepared in a violent encounter, Mr. Irvine?
The bad guy always is. He picks his time, he picks his place, he picks his target.
Exactly. And if you're walking around with your head in the sand, or you're, you know, your head looking down at your feet when you're coming out of the mall, or you're coming out of the grocery store, man, you know, you're just setting yourself up. So I thought the parallels there were really fascinating. But, George, take away where we went prior to going to the courthouse. Tell everybody where you took me.
Well, it's where we were at and what we were doing there at the time, considering what was going on that we didn't know about at the same time, it was kind of chilling. I took Mark over to the Trolley Square Shopping Mall, where a couple years ago there was a shooting incident there. And Mark can attest to the mall. It's a beautiful little mall, very quiet, very quaint. And that's that quiet and solitude, that peace that's there was shattered by a gunman who came through one of the doors armed with a shotgun and the intent to do harm. And showed Mark around that little mall, and it was chilling to be there again, because that's a mall I used to go to all the time before the shooting started and before the event happened. But that day that that happened, I was going to be there at that mall to pick up a gift that was only at a little boutique store that was in there for my wife. But we were there and talking about that shooting and what happened. And the result is that now, before you couldn't carry legally, you could not carry. That was a gun-free zone. You couldn't pack your gun in there. But since that shooting, now you, oh, yes, you can, because it was a guy with a concealed carry weapon, an off-duty police officer from up in Ogden, put an end to that shooting.
Jim, can you believe that?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, exactly. I'm being a little facetious and a little sarcastic there, because we hit on that in hour number one and two, and I got to tell you, it was really eerie to walk in that door where the shooter did, having been familiar with some of the news reports and recognizing some of the surroundings and seeing where the shooter came in and where he acted before he was taken out. It was a very bizarre and, I guess, almost surreal thing. And then to be there with the ogre who knew the details was even a little, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? It was just a very surreal thing to be there and see that.
And what was even more surreal is that we found out that the Fort Hood thing was going down.
While we were there?
Yeah.
At the moment we were there, it was. Jim, you were going to say something. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, aside from the whole gun thing, I do have to point out, just listening to you two talk, it reminds me, my mom, who's in her 70s, been involved with all sorts of different groups and clubs and associations throughout her whole life, and in her 70s gets into shooting. And I, you know, after a year on her pistol team, I said, you know, how are you liking it? And she says, you know, the gun people are the nicest, friendliest group of people I've ever met in my life. And just your comment about George just taking you in, that is who we are. No matter where you go, the gun people are just, it's like a step back in time to when people took care of each other because it's simply the right thing to do. And that sort of do unto others as you want them to do unto you. And it's, I always love being at a gun event or a gun crowd because it's strikingly different than the rest of the rude population. We by and large, are a great, polite group of people, and I love associating with all of them.
You know, that's a great point, because it doesn't matter what state you're in, it doesn't matter what city in that state you're in. When you go to a gun show, for example, Florida's got some great ones, okay? I've been to them in Ohio, I've been to them in Texas, I've been to them in Georgia, I've been to them in Virginia. And they're great places to go and meet people. And, you know, you got to turn the news on, and all you're doing is getting bashed. And it's ridiculous. Oh, yeah. It's just ridiculous.
I tell you what, I had so much fun this weekend at the gun show. Having been, you know, kind of just a customer and just an attendee, but this time I was at a booth, and, you know, people would come up to us and talk to us. And this little old lady came up. She was probably in her 70s, but decked out in this Wild West gear, looking like a cowgirl from the 1800s, and she was strapping on a pair of guns, and then she had another gun that was kind of up in the front. And so this little lady strapped on three guns, she comes up to our booth and talking to us, and we talked for about 15 minutes. She's an avid shooter. She's active in the Single Action Shooting Society, but I think it's just great. Anytime you get the lady folk coming out and enjoying our sport, because it's not just our sport, it's everybody's sport. Anybody can do this. But it was just fun talking to this lady, and it was she was talking like we were old friends.
It was fantastic. If you're sitting on the fence, and it's new to me. I don't want to do that. I'm scared. I'm chicken. You know what? Come on in. The water's warm. Come on in. The water's warm.
Oh, yeah.
You'll never find anybody else more friendly and willing to help you, right, Jim?
Absolutely.
Bingo. Listen, when we come back from the break, I want to get into with Jim Irvine the McDonald case and put our teeth into it and talk about the brief. We'll be right back on Armed American Radio with George Hill and Jim Irvine right after these messages.
Going into battle, you would want all the ammunition for your gun you could get. But presently, ammunition and reloading supplies are in shortage. Now think about this. If you have no food, all the guns and ammunition will be useless against the population-controlled breadlines. In the present battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your most important and only true ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it, now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Will you buy it without proper identification? Will it make your children sick? Quarantine? Will you feed yourself or go to the gathering center for immunization? All of these problems disappear if you have a good supply of storable food. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. Storable food puts you in control. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. Call 800-409-5633.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Is your life a whirr? Do you find yourself coming and going at a pace that would leave a coffee-drinking Jack Russell Terrier in the dust? Would you like to just slow down and get out of the rat race? Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby with the 3-Step Plan Home Business System. Slow down and have a less stressful, happier life by building a home business. Go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-895-6545. 800-895-6545.
Are you a firearms owner? If you live in an urban area that is susceptible to natural or man-made disasters, then you need to visit 9survive.com. Learn vital survival skills, such as how to avoid making your prepared family a target for looters and how to fix the top 10 mistakes people make with 72-hour kits. Learn these skills and more. Sign up for a free 9-day mini course at 9survive.com. That's the number 9, survive, then.com.
Oh, yes, and all the soldiers fighting in Vietnam had to do a thing called machine gun.
You gotta love that. You gotta love that. I just got an email from somebody that said, Nugent, Kiss, did you know that my birth certificate said Detroit on it? That was from Jim Irvine, who was communicating with me back and forth in the studio. No, I did not know that. But I lived up there for quite a while and saw both of them in Cobo Hall. Actually, I saw Kiss in Cobo Hall. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. We're back with Jim Irvine. Jim, I hate to say this, former host of Buckeye Firearms Forum?
Yeah, well, you know what? It's funny because a lot of people have said, hey, we're really sorry to see this go. And the show was a blast. I love doing it. And in a lot of ways, I wish I still was. But the other thing that's important to recognize is this whole the gun hole stuff, we're all teammates. You and Mark and George and I and the, most of your audience, we're all on the same team. And while I love doing the show, there's a job that the show's got to get done. A radio show on firearms must be done. It has to. So, you know, that's why we started it. But now you come along, and you guys are doing a great job, and I can kind of hand this ball to you and focus on other things. Our team is stronger because I can hand this baton to you. And I couldn't be happier to be on your show instead of doing my own tonight because you are just tearing it up and growing by leaps and bounds. And it's just it's awesome to see. I love it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and what's really important, and George can attest to this because he's been on the broadcast more than I have, 6 or 7 times at least, and believe me, we'll be on quite a bit more in the future, and it's to see the response coming from across the country has been, I would say, humbling and overwhelming, but not unexpected, because gun owners, it doesn't matter where you live, we all, like you said, are all on the same team. We all share the same desires, and we have to, especially now. Listen, I want to go back. I could, before we go into the brief, Jim, I want to make this mention again. And oh, here, it just popped right up on my screen. With the wave of his pen, President Obama could ban the foreign-made armor-piercing handgun used at Fort Hood massacre. With the wave of his pen, President Obama could ban the foreign-made blah, blah, whatever you want to say, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, if that doesn't scare the heck out of you Glock owners or Sig Sauer owners or
pick one.
AK owners or, you know, holy cow.
It's mind-boggling because this is what they're trying to do. Now, they've been laying very, very low and very quiet. I want to make this point. When Obama was first elected, pay very close attention to what I'm going to say. When Obama was first elected, the gun nuts, the anti-gun nuts came out of the woodwork. ABC did a hit piece, didn't it, Jim? Didn't it, George?
Yep, absolutely.
CBS, 60 Minutes was all over it, and ABC's that ridiculous active shooter situation that they did. I mean, just crazy stuff. The left was getting all this airplay, all these wacky liberals and these anti-gunners were salivating, they were falling all over themselves, they didn't know what to do. All of a sudden, it stopped, and it got really quiet. And anybody in the Midwest, Kansas, you're listening, you know as well as anybody else, that's the calm before the storm. And then you see this come out, and they're tipping their hat. And the Brady campaign, Paul Helmke, without, you know, he utters a few goofy quotes there and then and again and makes my point for me when he does, because you can just destroy him with logic and fact. But isn't this the calm before the storm? Listen, 2010 is going to be a wake-up call to these guys big time. They were woken up a few Tuesdays ago, Jim.
The fight is coming.
And yes, it has. Yes, it is.
It's a fight like none of us have seen in our lifetime. And I was talking in front of a group of a few hundred people the other day, and I told them, I said, folks, this is more important than the fight for your life. And people are like, how can it be? What's more important than the fight for my life? And I said, the fight for your children's life and their way of life and what our forefathers went and got us in this country. That is our way of life as United States citizens, and we are going to have to defend it against a fight unlike any we've ever seen. Obama has now, the Centers for Disease Control is going to take up a study. For a long time, they've been prohibited by federal law from getting into gun issues. But Obama, you know, one of those, you know, wave of his hands, and, well, we're not going to do that, but we're going to look at the, listen to this, medical costs associated with gunshots.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So no, listen.
The health care bill is a gun control Trojan horse.
You better believe it.
And you look at that, you look at OSHA and what they're about to get into.
You just took the words out of my mouth. OSHA's coming down the pike. Folks, you better put toothpicks above underneath those eyelids. Because now it's coming, and it's going to come from angles where they're going to try to catch off guard and do an end around. That's what's going to happen.
They have lost at everything they've done for almost two decades, and they're smart. They realize what they're doing doesn't work. They're losing in courts. They're losing in legislatures. They're losing at state levels, at federal levels, at local levels. The populace, the polls, everything has gone against them. They need something backdoor to come in and gain some ground. And Obama used to sit on the president and the board of directors of the Joyce Foundation when they were the number one funder of anti-gun junk garbage. Now he's got the full resources of the federal government, and he's about to start using it.
Well, you know what he's doing? He's increasing. Let's make this very clear, too. He is increasing in size the full resources of the federal government. They're going to jam health care so far down your throat, your feet are going to hurt. Okay, and it's coming, and this is what they're doing. They're going to try to control. Well, not going to try. They're going to ram this down, and they're going to do it against the will of the populace. They're going to do it against the will of the American people because he doesn't care about the will of the American people. And
no.
They're going to cram it down your throat, and they're going to. Look, you're talking banking, automobile industry, healthcare, folks. You got to wake up. If you don't think gun control is on this agenda, you're nuts. Put the toothpicks under your eyelids and start paying attention. Now let's use that, Jim, to talk about, and George, I want you to jump in on this one too, because the McDonald case, this is a good point to go to the McDonald case. This is the most important piece, or I should say the most important case, that the Heller decision did nothing but set us up for this. Jim, run with it.
Well, yes, the Heller Foundation, the Heller case set us up for this. The Heller case said that the Second Amendment recognizes an individual right. And as I've heard Alan Gura, the lead attorney in the case, say, you know, let's bow our heads for the collective rights theory. It's dead. A lot of people don't realize 9-0 the Supreme Court agreed on that. So we all knew that. That's kind of common sense. But what people miss is the Second Amendment or the first 10 amendments were written to control the federal government. Our founding fathers were very concerned about an out-of-control, oppressive federal government. They weren't concerned with an out-of-control, oppressive state or local governments. So as time went on, we realized, hey, you know what? States get kind of big. Cities get big. They can get oppressive, too. So the 14th Amendment said, hey, states and local people can't take away these fundamental rights that we put in the Bill of Rights. But they had to be what lawyers call incorporated. And all your basic rights, your right to freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom from cruel and unusual punishment, they have already been incorporated. The Second Amendment never has. And
now
that's what this case is about.
That's what this case is about. So keep an eye on it. When we come back, we'll go into more detail about it and continue discussions. Back with George Hill and Jim Irvine momentarily on Armed American Radio Network.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
All right, we're back with Jim Irvine of the Buckeye Firearms up in Ohio, in Cleveland. It's great to have Jim on here, my good friend. He and I have done some really fun work together in the past with, state representative up there in Cleveland, right?
We have.
And it really, really good job with those guys, and he is a chapter in my book. So, you know, a lot of fun. George, how you doing out there? You staying warm?
Oh, I've got a fire burning here at Ogre Ranch, warming up the house here.
Oh, yeah.
Nice and toasty, snowflakes falling outside. It's great.
Yeah, I missed that by a couple weeks.
Yeah, you're lucky. We had great weather while you were here. I'm sitting here thinking about the Second Amendment and what it means as far as these cases go. And we keep referring to the Second Amendment, but just for those out there that are not quite up on the ball on what that is, the Second Amendment, part of the Bill of Rights. These are the rights listed in our Constitution, saying that these are our rights. That these are unquestionable rights as being a free citizen of the United States that we all have. It says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And it just such a clear statement of our rights to bear arms, to keep and bear. That means not just own, but to own and have, carry and use, enjoy, collect, to collect arms. Meaning,
amen.
George, can you just clarify something for me? The right of who to keep and bear arms?
The right of the people.
Not the government.
No,
the military, not the police.
Well, actually, that's a very good point. And if you look at how they write this, the first part, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of the free state, that's basically because of this. Now, the second part, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Because of this, so many people miss that. You are right on the money.
And you know what they don't tell you, and you don't hear it a lot, is well regulated during the time and the century that was written meant trained, well trained, a well trained militia, a trained, regulated. We use different words today.
Yeah, and they're saying because we have to have this well regulated militia, because we have to have these trained soldiers, which is what they're talking about, because we have to have these soldiers, we have to have the right to keep and bear our arms. Because as a nation, we had just fought a war against tyranny, against an oppressive government. We're fighting against England, who was the tyrannical government, and we had to keep and we had to rise up, you know, with our arms.
We citizens, not just the military. This, we wouldn't be a country today were it not for the citizens.
The citizen militia,
who were well trained and armed.
And trained, you know, you've got to clarify what trained means. We could go on for this forever. The Second Amendment isn't open for debate on Armed American Radio, but you know what? Sometimes you've got to clarify trained, okay? When you go back and you look at regulated and trained, what that meant was someone who could follow instructions, who could bring their arms to the table. Go see the movie The Patriot if you haven't seen it, in the scene where Heath Ledger walks into the church and musters the militia. It pretty much says it all, and it was a really brilliant scene. And he did a great job in it.
It does. And I'll be honest, my eyes get watery when I watch that movie. I just love that movie.
Oh, it's a great movie.
I own it to watch every 4th of July weekend.
There you go. Hey, Jim, we were talking about the importance of the McDonald case.
Yeah.
On the heels of what George just said.
Go there. I want to, since we're reading the Second Amendment, now let me read, the 14th Amendment is big, but let me just read Section 1 here. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. Nothing complicated there. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities, and that's where we get into people talk about the privileges and immunities clause, this is it, of the citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And that's the other branch that they're looking at. There's debate on which way they're going to rule on this. Nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. So there's several different ways which our rights are protected, and there's argument over which way they're going to, which clause they're going to use to incorporate the Second Amendment. And the interest for those attorneys out there, the interesting part on this is they may get into slaughterhouse. Justice Clarence Thomas actually brought this up in the Heller about, hey, should Slaughterhouse be revisited? And Alan Gura, in their brief, actually goes after Slaughterhouse and says, yes, you do need to revisit it. Every first-year law student has studied this case and knows, hey, most of us know the Dred Scott case as the Supreme Court ruling a black man's property, and he's got to get shipped back down south into slavery again. And everybody talks, what a terrible ruling it is. Well, from today's perspective, in effect, whether a black man should be owned, yeah, that's wrong. But from a legal standpoint, at least the Supreme Court had some grounds on that. Is as morally disgusting as that ruling was, the Slaughterhouse case is even worse because there is no legal ground for them to stand on. It was just completely a terrible ruling from the 1800s that has convoluted all sorts of stuff. So. A lot of folks are interested in getting into that on this case as a side note on what's going on.
But people can look that up, too, because that ruling was in 1886, if I'm not mistaken, Slaughterhouse. Am I right?
It was. I know it was in the 1800s. And if you want to read the brief on that, the ChicagoGunCase.com is a website that's going to have, I imagine, all of the briefs on there. But also, I want to mention to your listeners, tomorrow, going back to this partner thing we talked about earlier today.
Right.
The United States Concealed Carry Association and Buckeye Firearms Association partnered to write a brief. We have submitted an amicus brief to the U.S. Supreme Court on this case, and it will be available on both our websites tomorrow morning. And I encourage listeners to go read it. It's a great brief, and I think they're going to like it. And I want to read a little section of it here, section 2, and this is kind of a summary of what we're talking about on this case. The question before the court is whether the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms is incorporated against the states by the 14th Amendment privileges and immunities or the due process clauses. Now, that's in quotes because that's what the Supreme Court said. We're going to take this case. Here's what we're looking at. That's their words, not ours. So in our brief, we say, as other briefs and the parties themselves are expected to cover the numerous legal and historical arguments for incorporation of the Second Amendment by the 14th Amendment via one clause or the other, this brief will instead examine the compelling policy reasons that support such incorporation, regardless of which clause is ultimately chosen to accomplish this incorporation. Due to the limited jurisdictional nature of Heller, persons living in Washington, D.C., and arguably also living in the American Samoa, Puerto Rico, Guam, and the U.S. Virgin Islands, enjoy a robust right to own and carry within their homes handguns for lawful purposes, including the right of self-defense, courtesy of the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. At the same time, residents of Chicago do not enjoy the same Second Amendment right and have no right in the Illinois State Constitution, and they are in fact actively deprived of this right by political machine of Chicago City Government. The result is that persons living in Chicago are second-class citizens compared to those living in D.C. is an absurd result without any legal foundation or analog. Persons living in Chicago and D.C. share equal enjoyment of the First Amendment right to religious worship, free speech, and freedom of the press, Fourth Amendment protections against unreasonable search and seizures of their property, Fifth Amendment protections against felony charges without a grand jury indictment, double jeopardy, coerced self-incriminations, Sixth Amendment protections against for speedy and public fair trials with the assistance of counsel if required. In short, the Second Amendment should apply equally to all persons with the United States without regard to where the person lives, and this is important, or is temporarily located, and the Second Amendment must afford the same dignity of protection against state intrusion that this court has afforded the arrest of the enumerated fundamental individual rights contained within the U.S. Constitution.
Now, that was a mouthful and a perfect time to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to sink our teeth into that and explain a little bit of it in some layman's terms. You're on the Armed American Radio Network, and we will be right back.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191.
800-804-0191.
If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
Welcome back to Armed American Radio. Got a really good email in here I want to read you. Real short, real sweet, to the point. Let me find it here. Where did you go? There it is. Mark, I love the show going from 2 to 3 hours. It is my new favorite show. Keep up the great work. Tom and Buckhead, that's a beautiful thing. Welcome back to Armed American Radio. I'm joined by Jim Irvine of Buckeye Firearms and the Mad Ogre, George Hill. George.
Sir.
You've been following this case. We've talked about how important this is many, many, many times. And I don't think the average gun owner out there who catches the news when they can because people's lives are busy. Jim, I know you'll agree with me for crying out loud. You traverse time zones all day for a living behind the cockpit. And, you know, most people's perception of the United States is a two-dimensional weather map that they see. And, you know, they just don't fly around. They don't get out that often because they don't have the time. Money is tight. People have jobs, families. And, you know, they don't see everything the way we focus on it here, simply by the nature of what we do. And I don't think the average gun owner is aware of just how important what this McDonald case means. Jim, when we say here, and believe me, it's not spoken lightheartedly, that the Heller case is not the most important. And we all know the big cheer. Jim, you called me within minutes of that decision. Remember that?
Yep.
You called me within minutes of that decision. It's hard to believe that's a couple years ago already. But now we're looking at the McDonald case, and everything hinges on that relative to the future, like you said at the beginning of the broadcast.
Yeah, and we've got to be looking forward, not past. One other quick side note I got to mention.
Please.
I love listening to the show online because during a commercial, I can hear a commercial like for Crossbreed Holsters, and I can go to their website and read about their product. And the next commercial, there's enough time to actually go order the product and buy from your sponsors.
Oh, there you go.
I love that.
Very nice.
So, I'm sorry, but back to this case. The it's looking to the future, and that's important. And then another thing I want to bring up for that's in this brief, another section for all you concealed carry license holders out there. We're talking about if you grant the petitioners of this and rule our way, that's what we're talking about in this case. As noted earlier, Chicago's current law makes no provision for non-residents to obtain a license, and it is expected that any amendments needed to bring Chicago's law into post-incorporation compliance will retain this defect. In such an environment, members of the United States Concealed Carry Association or the Buckeye Firearms Association, who exercise constitutional right to travel to Chicago, are treated as second-class citizens when they do so. For instance, a member forced to travel back to Chicago to provide extended care for an ill family member will be forced to shed their Second Amendment rights at the Illinois state line and further shed those rights at the Chicago city limits, while residents living next door to the sick relative will be entitled to a shall-issue license system and carry an operable handgun in the home. The non-resident carrying the firearm will have no such entitlement, regardless of the length of stay, the fact that the family member ill may be dependent on them, the non-resident, for constant care, including protection from the criminal elements. And what this is it's a way of looking and saying, hey, maybe we should just do national reciprocity while we're at it.
I like the way Ken Hansen hit on that, because, you know, we all know what happened in the Senate this year, earlier this year,
mm-hmm.
with national reciprocity. We actually had a majority.
I don't know.
You know, only the Democrats can claim 38 votes in the Senate as a victory when they're scrambling for 60 for health care to shove it down your throat. Now, it's going to cost a lot of them their jobs, by the way. I have to say that. Fear not.
I hope so.
Oh, it's going to. I have faith in the American people, and I believe that that will happen. I truly do. And I could go out on a limb here, too, and say Sotomayor is going to vote, how she's going to vote on this McDonald case, too.
If she had any, dignity is not the right word, but any, if she was true to who a Supreme Court justice should be, she should recuse herself from this case because she's already ruled on it.
And she has already ruled on it. We actually talked to Dane.
She's ruled on it as the Supreme Court, that she's ruled on it in a lower court ruling that she already has a biased opinion on when this case comes.
But George,
she's not going to do that.
No, she won't. George, weren't you on the broadcast when Dane and Dick Heller were with me?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
Okay, we talked about this at great length. And should she? She doesn't have to. There's no precedent to that.
She doesn't have to. There's no actual requirement for it.
Right.
But the way judges work is if there is any potential conflict of interest, they will excuse themselves or recuse themselves from the case and turn it over to another judge who can look at the case with blinded eyes, if you know what I mean.
Well, let's take the First Amendment, Jim. Let's simplify this to the First Amendment, okay?
Okay.
We have a right to free speech. The right to free speech is automatically assumed to have been incorporated and has been incorporated to the states. Does Mayor Daley, because this is what we're talking about here, does Corrupt Daley, his middle name is Corruption. It's amazing they keep putting this guy in office. That's a different program. But does he have the right to tell me what I can and can't say, write or read or print when I live in Chicago?
Absolutely not.
Okay, why can he tell me when I visit Chicago that I can't defend myself?
He shouldn't have that right, and that's what this case is about.
That's exactly what this case is about in simplistic terms.
I don't believe he has that right at all, and the fact that he is acting like he has the right should not be tolerated.
No, and it won't. This should be a 9-0 decision.
It should be, but I don't think it will be.
Because if I asked Dane von Breichenrochart this. Dane is brilliant. Boy, is he fun to talk to. And I asked him point blank, if they remove the Second Amendment from it, if it's just an amendment, okay, it has to be incorporated. But his response was beautiful and brilliant as usual. He's like Mossad. You can always count on getting something from him that is just enlightening as the day is 24 hours long when he says, yeah, but you know what? It won't be. And it won't be because they can't remove those biases. The First Amendment and the Second, there should be no difference. Fourth Amendment protections, Fifth Amendment protections. You can't take the Fifth when you live in Chicago.
Can you imagine a state going, you know what? We're gonna do cruel and unusual punishment. We're just gonna break down your door and take anything we want and do cruel and unusual punishment because that right doesn't apply to you in this state.
And if you write about it, we're gonna prosecute you because we don't like what you write. And you don't have the right to be secure in your possessions while in Chicago.
Yeah.
Well, just imagine the Illinois State Troopers putting up checkpoints at the borders, checking drivers for Illinois State driver's licenses.
You know, George, that's an interesting point. Let me elaborate here. A couple weeks back, I mentioned on this broadcast and read quite a bit of information that came off of the Armed American Radio website. I was quite enlightened by it. But obviously, outside of the city of Chicago, there are sheriff's associations and police chiefs associations in full, total agreement on licensed concealed carry in Illinois. This is a Chicago cancer that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it is mind-blowing to me that these people continue to elect them. I just can't comprehend it. If somebody can help me with that, for crying out loud, send me an email and tell me I'm not alone here.
Well, you'd have to be a magician to understand that. Some sort of wizard thing, some Harry Potter thing going on. To understand the liberal mind is it must be like knowing exactly what it feels like to be high, having never been high before.
Jim, can people be brainwashed? Well, obviously they can. That's a stupid question. We've seen it by, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. But I've actually sat and had dinner with a good friend of mine from Chicago, an old business associate, and I have asked him that question, why do you do it? In fact, I took him to the range, and his answer to me was, you know, we just, you know, the city's nice. We have, you know, everybody's comfortable, and we know it's corrupt, but there are trade-offs. They've accepted it. They've just accepted it.
It'll never happen to me.
Exactly.
They living in denial.
They give up some security. They give up some freedom to pick up a little credit for some security. And it's a false security that they have.
No, it really is. And I've said before, you know, I used to say, you know, you have no hope in Illinois. Just move. Just get out. You have no hope. But you know what? That's not what patriots do. I've corrected myself, and I'll correct myself again. Patriots stay and fight because they have to fight for who comes behind them.
And
they have to.
And U.S. Carry Association, Buckeye Firearms Association are going to Illinois to help them fight.
Exactly. And that's what this is about. So you've got to stand up. You've got to fight the good fight. This case is very important. Pay very, very close attention to it. Don't forget also to pay very close attention about this this end run around the Constitution that these anti-gun groups are working on right now. They're all over it, folks.
Yep. And freedom is too precious.
Freedom is too precious. Your rights are at stake. We have a socialist and a narcissist in chief who I hopefully will be knocked down about 200 pegs. But that's okay because this program is growing bigger than his ego every day. We have 30 seconds. Jim Irvine, thank you so much for joining us. You're welcome on the broadcast anytime. Kudos for what you've done at Buckeye Firearms. George Hill, the Mad Ogre, always a pleasure, my friend. I'm looking forward to going back out there and eating some more bison with you. And this time throwing some lead downrange, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, you've been on the Armed American Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. We'll see you next week right here.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby.